Welcome to the Work Smart Club podcast, hosted by Dr. Cynthia Howard, executive coach and Lean Sigma Black Belt, and brought to you by Work Smart Consulting. Inside of you is the power to transform your world. You just have to unleash your potential. Get ready for strategies you can use right now. Leadership leverage you need.
We continue to live through a period of time never before experienced. We are in an information war, and the uncertainty and ambiguity in everyday life and in the workplace is off the charts. People are wondering if anything they once knew as normal will be coming back. Well, here's the good news and the bad news. No, normal is not coming back. That's good news because what we all thought was normal was really just safe and familiar. But if you really think about it, most of it was not ideal or optimal. The bad news is because living and leading during these times of uncertainty and ambiguity is not something most of us have been taught, so we don't really have the skills. And this is why I want to talk about resilience today. I've talked a lot about resilience in the leader, resilient thinking, and I will continue to talk about it because it is an understated and underused skill. But I want to talk about resilience in workflow. It's an area that I've studied and followed for several decades, and I want to break it down. So this channel talks about leadership leverage, and I provide strategies to help you stand out and excel along your leadership journey. And resilience is one of those areas that's often overlooked and misunderstood. In fact, not long ago, I was at a conference, and a leader looked at me and said, "That's so passe. Why are you still talking about that? It's not really interesting." She said, "Is that even a thing?" And I understand that innovation, creativity, artificial intelligence, those are much more exciting topics. But the fact is you can't become innovative or creative unless you have resilience. And it's hard to really activate your resilience in an authentic way unless you understand more about it. So while I do talk about innovation and creativity because it is an offshoot of emotional intelligence, resilience, and managing your thinking, but generating those ideas, incubating those ideas, and considering alternatives, and then working through them to implement really requires that you manage those impulses, that you have systems in place that can handle this idea flow, because ideas, innovation, and creativity, those are all disruptive activities. So resilience is definitely a set of skills that's absolutely essential in order to get to the next level, to manage conflict, to handle the natural tensions that exist between resistance and acceptance of those ideas. So resilience is definitely important, and I want to talk about resilient systems and not necessarily resilience in you as a leader. So, and nowadays we're all so familiar with the supply chain breakdown, and we probably know more about how things come to market than ever before. In fact, this is one of those unintended consequences, and that is increasing awareness of the ripple effect of the various processes that break down. It's indeed an education, especially if you are in management and you want to take a look at what happens several processes over when something goes wrong in your department. So for example, not too long ago, this came up. I was using a local printer, and that printer had only one supplier of paper, and that supply got cut off. And the printer admitted that that was 20% of their business. So I was not able to get the products that I needed on one small company, but in talking with them, I understood that this had a tremendous impact on their company. So how do they continue to operate paying 100% of their expenses when they're 20% down in their revenue? And in this particular situation, that was happening at the same time that that printer decided to move their office, hire new staff, So they're going through many of the changes that other businesses are going through. What's different is that as an entrepreneur, resilience is really in their DNA. And as an entrepreneur myself, I can attest to that after studying it. It's just in order to stay in business, you have to keep going. But what entrepreneurs don't always do real well is build in systems so that something can fill in when something else goes down. Very often that does happen in larger organizations, but again, because organizations are large, they don't move as fast. They're not agile, so they're not flexible. So this business owner, as I said, was already hit with moving to a new location because of a tremendous rent increase. They had staffing issues. They hadn't brought people up to staff yet so that those people could search out new paper suppliers. And there was a whole host of things that happened that caused this slowdown in his revenue. And so it really does point to the fact that no matter what, there should always be time in your schedule for planning and priorities. Whether you do that in a retreat kind of format, whether you do that weekly or on a monthly level, there needs to be quality time for you personally to think through these things, but then also to get together with your team and do some brainstorming around certain issues so that your goals can continue to be met. So before we jump into the five steps to build a resilient process, let's define resilience. I bet as soon as I said that, most people think about bouncing back. And that's a good image for resilience, but it's also about thinking forward. And I'm going to talk about optimism later. But the ability to think forward and build a system that can handle those future elements, that can handle potential disruption and rapid change, that is also part of what resilience is. So resilience is not white-knuckling your way through something. So if you have a process or a business that barely squeaks by during those tough times, congratulations that you did get through it. But what needs to happen now as you review how you got through it is do some planning and some prioritizing to find out what do you need to do so that you don't just get through it, but you can thrive through it. And that's what these five steps are going to be about. So no matter the size of your department, you can use these tips. And if you want to use them for yourself as an individual, they can be personalized for you too. The very first step is plan for the disruption. So spend time every week so that you can plan, so that you can think through, think deeply about what's going on, take a look at what the impact of that may be, what opportunities are there, what threats are there. Do this by yourself first as the leader, and then once you have your ideas clear, bring your team together and do that. Maybe you want to do that weekly for yourself and then monthly with your team. Maybe you want to schedule an hour and a half every month where you're going to do a planning and priority session where you're going to take a look at some future issues that you need to deal with. So in this planning, you're going to take a look at what are the potential contingencies that might be needed for the upcoming year, and then you're going to back it up to quarter and month. So what happens when there's a shortage, when supplies, staff, and other resources aren't available? What plans do you have for backup? And there's a exercise that we like to do at the Work Smart Club Network, and that is the ripple effect. And that is where you want to take a scenario, one of the challenges that may have happened, it could be supply chain, it could be something else, and map out what the ripple effect is. You can go out 5 times, you can go out 7 times, or even 10 times. So you can look beyond yourself, you can look at beyond your department, then beyond that department. So when something happens, what is the ripple effect so that you can really see the fullness of the impact, and how can you mitigate that? And are there opportunities in there? Are there opportunities for growth? Is there a way that you can maximize what's going on? What does it tell you about the kind of staff that you might need, about the basic day-to-day functioning and operation? Does something need to change? Do you see some bottlenecks coming up because the hours of operation need to change? So here's the opportunity to look at all the different scenarios, because it's not enough just to mitigate the crisis, but you have to know what's possible for you and what opportunities may exist. So brainstorming with your team is going to help you understand what's possible, because very often, as you all know, it's easy to get into groupthink. And so having these priority planning sessions every month with your team is really going to keep people from getting into groupthink. So the skills that you want to develop in your team with this first objective, planning for disruption, is collaboration. Collaboration is definitely a skill. It's when people work together, they share, debate ideas, but they work toward a unified purpose. There still may be conflict, there still may be tension. In fact, there usually is. But people work through it in a positive way so that there is a positive outcome for that purpose. You need to develop curiosity. This is the ability to ask questions and explore, not jump to solutions, or not be so tired that you want to avoid looking at new and different ways of handling things. One thing you may want to measure is how much time did it take to recover from the disruption? Were you able to bounce, or have your people resorted to business as usual and they want to ignore that this ever happened? The second step in building resilience into your workflow or your processes has to do with engaging optimism. Optimistic thinking is actually a precursor to resilience. It's a forward focus. It's where you look ahead. Even though you might be going through challenges, you're not stuck in the past. You're not mulling over what we could have done different. You're not filled with regret, fear, or anything else. You're looking forward while dealing with what's required in the moment. So people that are naturally optimistic usually are more confident in their ability to handle things. Now, I'm not talking about Pollyanna optimism. I'm not talking about bravado. I'm talking about a true optimism that recognizes that no matter what happens, we will get through this. So if you have that attitude as a leader, you're going to empower your team to also have that attitude. And there are lots of studies and research that demonstrate leaders that are more optimistic have more loyal followers, because there's some energy around that optimism and it's positive energy. So being able to experience that confidence while undergoing challenges is what's going to set you apart as a leader. So translate this confidence into your business processes so that you can take on those opportunities that are hidden in that challenge. So if your operation is maxed out with just your daily to-dos, then opportunity is going to get missed. And if people are toxic, focused on problems, blaming and shaming, then you're not going to be looking for opportunities, and it's going to be hard to have that optimism because people are tired, wired, and focused on the wrong thing. So in this step, you're going to ask the question, do I have the right people in the right job with the right attitude and the right skill set? Because as things have changed so quickly, very often jobs have changed, but the job description has not. So the onboarding process, the hiring process, the distinguishing competencies, they all may be outdated as it relates to this job because of the intensity of change that has happened in the last 3 years. But because everybody has such a full capacity, I've noticed in a lot of businesses that no one really has the inclination or the time to redo these really important elements of work. So the cycle continues over and over again. People are hired into positions, but they are not the right fit. So one of the skills that's really important in this step is learning to think differently. Thinking outside the box, I know, is so cliche, but learning to think differently. It's not just outside the box, but what box? And how far outside the box? And some of those other details. We have a great training at WorkSmart Consulting called Think Differently, and it looks at everybody's creativity quotient. And it's very interesting because we all have different levels of creativity, generating ideas, implementing ideas, incubating those ideas. And when you can get into a deeper level of awareness around yourself and around other people on your team and how they handle ideas, you can start to gel and support each other so that new ideas really are optimized. But one way you can definitely help people think differently is through coaching. So have coaching as part of your leadership, management, professional development. You personally, as the leader, coach your team, appreciate them, demonstrate to them what it looks like in terms of this process, give them feedback and help them get better at what they're doing, recognizing that there are going to be some mistakes along their way. But you don't want to get stuck in overthinking and you don't want to get stuck in perfectionism. You want to just keep moving forward. And that is part of an optimistic way of looking at things. One thing you can measure in this step are the number of ideas that are put forth by your staff and what the implementation process is around those ideas. Do you have a standardized way to implement new ideas? In fact, there are studies that have demonstrated that the number of ideas that are put out every month by staff really does impact the bottom line. But very often, there's not a real steady way to capture those ideas and then to look at implementing those ideas. When we work with our clients, we call them impact journeys, and we have sessions in the organization to present those ideas in the implementation. We call them idea rounds. It gives everybody recognition. It motivates people to come up with their own ideas, and it really does generate a spirit of curiosity and forward focus. It's very empowering, but it is a process, and that process needs to be followed. So the third step in building a resilient system is to think in terms of systems. And because change is so disruptive and so fast, your processes, your business operational processes need to adapt to the speed and the intensity of the change. And a system is based on relationships versus a collection of parts. So when you have one department doing something, another department doing something, but there's no relationship or dependency built into that, then it just becomes a collection of people working on something. And so this is where you flatten out silos and you look at workflow and you set up a written process, a system that can be followed over and over again. So this system is not compromised. People don't work around it. It's something that needs to be followed to the T, because as soon as you start compromising it, then you're going to decrease the quality and you're going to decrease the efficacy of how well it works. So you want to map out whatever that system is when you look at your business processes. So earlier we talked about that ripple exercise, and that's a great way to start looking at what those dependencies are as you think about some of your internal processes. What are those dependencies? And you're going to see how they can break down or how they can be enhanced. So the ripple exercise is going to help you get to this in terms of thinking in a systems kind of way. The skills that your team needs are problem-solving skills. And you want, again, to have a standardized approach to problem-solving, like Lean Six Sigma, Plan, Do, Check, Act. You're going to use a step-by-step process rather than letting people wing it to try and figure out how they're going to do it. Because once you do that, you're going to lose a lot of time, you're going to spend more money, and you're not going to get the outcome that you really want. You're not going to get the quality solutions that you really want. And the skills that your team needs in order to think in systems is emotional agility. Because when you are looking at a process that's going across maybe departmental lines, you're going to be interacting with people that are different. You're going to have to deal with things that are happening spontaneously. And If you haven't learned to manage your tension, your anger, your frustration, then there are going to be a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of emotions that are going to get in the way. So being flexible, handling the stress, reacting to the demands and changes, that's going to be an important skill set. And that's all part of activating resilience and emotional intelligence. Now, the fourth step in building a resilient process is to look underneath your KPIs or your metrics. So metrics are absolutely essential, but in order to implement a resilient system, you have to understand how those metrics are obtained and what happens when they're not obtained. And again, this goes back to systems. What are the relationships between the departments and people as they develop these metrics or as they perform these metrics? So use that ripple exercise to understand this and to take this from your front line all the way out and up through the executive suites. What is the process that is happening in order for this metric to be ideal? And then what doesn't happen when this metric fails? And so once you see those relationships, you can be more strategic as you think about your changes. And the fifth step in building a resilient process is to recognize that the new normal is really change. So at the opening of this session, I mentioned that normal is gone, but in reality, change is the new normal, and it's rapid change. So once that really sinks in and you can build processes around that constant change, then you are on your way to having a resilient system. So this really does require a transformation, because transformation means that the way you think about things and what you end up doing has changed. Okay, it's a deeper level of change. It's a paradigm shift. So you're going to be looking at how are reports drawn up? How does this information flow up and down through the org? How do people function in terms of either data or their day-to-day operation? So this step to understand that change is the new normal might seem like an overwhelming task because you're going to take a look at every aspect of the workflow. So you want to plan for this, but you can definitely do it, okay? So in the past, restructuring has been used as a strategy of choice, but usually that only involves one department. And very often when you restructure one department without looking at the ripple effect, you're going to suboptimize. You're going to make that department better, but you're going to break something else down the line because it disrupted what they normally did and no one thought about that. So changing the infrastructure of communication flow and data flow is going to be a significant aspect to this step in building a resilient system, because you may have to make that communication flow redundant. You may want to start it and stop it differently than where it is now. You may use different kinds of reports. In fact, more than likely, you're going to use some type of visualization so that people are not reading anything more than one page, but you're making the data flow and communication more visual in nature so you can quickly grasp what is happening in that department. This also helps people make decisions faster and they see the big picture. So all of this requires a mindset shift, and very often it is at the executive level, because very often executives and leaders at that level tend to perceive control as their friend. And if they can control something, then it's going to prevent problems. Well, when you have rapid disruptive change, you can only control things for so long. You have to build a system that can handle the rapid disruptive change. So questions that you want to consider here are, how can my frontline staff be empowered to solve problems? How do they make decisions? How are they improving on the process? Can it happen on the fly so that it is more continuous? Do we have a problem-solving method in place, and is it being utilized? Do people feel empowered to use it? Do they understand that quote-unquote mistakes are part of the process, and will they be supported as they move forward? Is the vision clear? and the framework clear so that they understand what are the boundaries and what does the end game look like. And the skills that are needed here have to do with communication, being very clear, making sure that you actually have a strategy in place, meaning you have different ways of communicating, not just one way, like through email, because people aren't reading email. There needs to be new and different ways of communicating. How are you organizing workflow? How are you handling the backlog? How are you handling new work that comes in? These are all questions that need to be thought of. And a great way to do this is through a retreat. So if you are thinking about, wow, we really do need to build in resilience to our everyday work, contact me at worksmartthinkdifferent.com, click on the big red button, work with us, and schedule a strategy call so that we can talk about what your options are. But in the meantime, start with one of these five steps and just work on that and continue to keep the learning going as you review and revise what's happened. Because one of the things that is required in this accelerated pace of work is accelerated learning. And you do that through reflection, through revising, or through reviewing and then revising. So be sure to schedule that strategy call and let's talk about how you can build resilience into your business processes. We also have excellent training on resilience and emotional intelligence that I would love to share with you. So check it out at Work Smart, Think Different. And in the meantime, stay energized, be blessed. Shalom.
Thank you for tuning in to the Work Smart Club podcast. We love our listeners and want to hear from you. Please join us at WorksmartClubNetwork.com. Stay connected and subscribe to our show so you never miss any of the content. Leaving us a positive review lets everyone know we add value. We thank you for it.